You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. One thing we didn't mention in headlines, we probably should, the latest with Deshaun Watson. According to Josina Anderson, Deshaun Watson is going to be meeting with NFL officials this week here in Texas. We don't know exactly what that means. Could it mean that the process is coming to an end, that either Deshaun is going to get suspended or they're going to make a decision not to suspend him? Typically, this is something that happens towards the end of a process and towards the end of an investigation the NFL does. They talk to the subject of the investigation after they've talked to accusers or witnesses and things like that. So who knows what this means? We speculated about what it could mean in terms of him getting suspended. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk has speculated that it could be possible that they have enough now to at least suspend Deshaun on something, and that if they find out more, either through the course of the legal process or maybe even more investigating, they could suspend him again down the road. We don't know. That would be unprecedented, I would think, getting multiple suspensions handed down. But Deshaun getting suspended parts of two seasons would be an incredible stroke of luck for the Houston Texans, considering they have the Browns' first-round pick the next 2 years. Text message, Seth, 281-468. Watson being suspended two different times over two seasons would be abject disaster for the Browns. Two seasons lost out of a four-season. It's actually a five-season contract, Texter. So two seasons lost. It's difficult to say if they would be lost seasons. If he gets suspended, let's say he gets suspended six games this year. They find out some more stuff. He gets suspended. Probably be a longer suspension the second year. I don't know if that would be treated as recidivism or not. You know, if he multiple-time offender, because it would probably be stuff from things that happened back all in the same year. I don't know.
But I don't think you...
Six games is...
It's not the same as a repeat offender.
Yeah.
It's because it's not...
Found out more stuff.
It's not like you just did something again after you were punished the first time.
Right.
How big is his bank account of past deeds, alleged misdeeds, paying off?
Here's the other thing, okay? So let's pretend for a second... I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on this because I don't know how radio-friendly the numbers are, but just in general, we know that the Browns paid most of Deshaun's 2022 income in the form of a huge signing bonus, so he had a very, very small salary this year, so the game checks that he might lose in a suspension would be like $50,000 instead of $2 million. Like, that's not an exaggeration. That's the difference. If he doesn't get suspended this year, what do they do? Do they do that again next year? Because you're talking about now shoving 2 years worth of cap dollars into future years. Like, you're turning 2024, 25, and 26 into a massive credit card bill if you're the Browns.
If they keep doing that to the point where then all of a sudden in Deshaun's last year, his salary is like 50% of the payroll, which means you got to give him a new deal again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think, honestly, if that happens, David Mulligetta is, like, put himself in yet another prime position where he's got extreme leverage over a team with negotiating.
For all the wrong reasons.
But that's what he's really, really good at. I think, like, David Mulligetta has been really good at understanding and realizing the leverage that his client has more so than the teams even realize. Yeah. I feel like David Mulligetta in a couple situations has had to basically explain to teams, no, actually, I actually do have a lot of leverage here, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll come to you eventually, and then we'll figure this thing out. So, whatever happens, I think Mulligetta will have an answer for it.
If I'm the Browns, there's a big part of me that just wants to get the suspension over with. You know, that wants to know, like, in June sometime, okay, Deshaun's suspended for 6 months. We feel like this is going to be it. We're done. We get it over with. We don't have to worry about doing this signing bonus thing again in 2023. Let's just get it done with.
Well, that's like the Patriots when Bob Kraft finally convinced Tom Brady to just stop fighting the Deflategate stuff, because Brady was really committed and willing to push it. Now, that's, I guess, you know, and Brady felt like his integrity was being maligned and all this. It's a higher level or a higher standard if Deshaun feels like he's being accused of having sexually assaulted people if he feels genuinely innocent. I think that's not one where the owner can say, like, hey, listen, for the good of the team, just stop fighting this. If the counter argument is like, no, this is me, this is people calling me something that I definitely am not, then I don't know. It's it really doesn't seem like Deshaun has any signs at all of wanting to drop these cases.
No.
And especially right now, you think right now might be when it starts to be taxing? Because there's one thing if he was living in Houston and having to give depositions in Houston. All right, it sucks, but so be it.
Yeah, it would be terrible. It would be terrible if that happened for Deshaun. Another text message, 713-325-4526. Nice try, Sean. Anyone who listens to your Sunday show knows you hate Deshaun Watson. I don't hate Deshaun Watson. I'm rooting against Deshaun Watson because I'm a Texan fan and I want the first round picks to be a little bit higher. But I don't hate Deshaun Watson. I don't. Text message 979248. A bit late, but any questions of what Indy's defense will be like without Matt Eberflus? That's a good question. My guess is they're running the same scheme there. They've got a ton of talent on defense in Indianapolis. I'm guessing they didn't want to lose Matt Eberflus. But if I'm the Indianapolis Colts, I'm not too worried about it. You still got Darius Leonard. You've still got players on that defense. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 713-572-4610. People floating Peter Solomon as a chance to be the Astros starter if they choose to go to a six-man rotation. We'll see. Seth Martinez hasn't started a game since 2017. A lot of Steve Aoki texts as well. 346-429. Steve Aoki, trash DJ. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it that Steve Aoki is garbage, texter. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Up next, a delusional caller to Clint Sterner in the show yesterday about James Harden, and the one really bad take Patrick Beverly had on his run through the ESPN studios yesterday also had to do with James Harden. We have that for you next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the show. Patrick Beverly was making the rounds yesterday on ESPN. He had a lot to say about Chris Paul. We'll get to some of that a little later in the show. We've touched on that already. He's not a big fan of Chris Paul's defense. Not a big fan of Chris Paul. He is, however, a big fan of James Harden, although I don't know that I would be ready to make Patrick Beverly the general manager of my basketball team after this take that he had yesterday on ESPN about giving James Harden a contract extension.
Max. Supermax, whatever the word is, after Supermax, that's what you give him. James Harden, he's changed the game. This is a person you give the Supermax to, you no hesitation about it. If you hesitate about it, he will go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
Stop what?
Stop. So the viewers get no Supermax.
You're right.
No good and damn well.
Because he deserves to get the Supermax.
He deserves the Supermax. Supermax.
You know, say, hell, you don't deserve a Max. Stop it.
Are you
Stop
kidding me?
Did I stutter? You give me an organization that could justifiably look at James Harden right now and say, excuse me, I want to invest max dollars in you for the next 3 or 4 years. Who's that organization?
Anybody.
Oh, my God.
Don't put God in this.
I'm sorry. You're right. I won't put the Lord's name in there. But, oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Right. You got to be crazy.
No, not crazy.
You got to be crazy.
Okay. Not crazy.
And then it's Stephen A. yelling back and forth with Patrick Beverly. So Beverly says Supermax for James Harden. I would not hire Patrick Beverly to run my basketball team.
I wouldn't run, you know, and that's that becomes the hard time, though, too, is he's got to be able to back it up with more than that at some point. Just then he's obviously buddies with James Harden, or how James Harden has revolutionized the game or anything. Hey, Michael Jordan revolutionized the game.
Supermax.
But eventually one day he was not at his prime anymore. Like you're not giving you give these contracts out for anticipated future performance.
Yeah.
Not as a reward for things you did in the past. So he's gotta explain exactly why Harden has looked the way he has and why his body is also apparently started to break down over the last couple of years.
I feel like there's like a 20% chance Michael Jordan would still give himself the Supermax right now as the owner of the Charlotte Hornets or whatever they are these days.
I bet Jordan, like realistically, what do you think Jordan thinks his ceiling is right now as a player in the NBA?
I think Jordan.
I think he still thinks he could take guys like one on one. Just you know, if it's 1 point, if that's all it is, then I don't have to go. You know, we're not playing to 15 or anything like that. I think he probably still feels like he could take the majority of guys.
Yeah, I think he knows getting up and down the floor is probably not an option for him at this point. But I think if he were playing, I think he thinks that in like a game of 3-on-3, like if he. I think Michael Jordan thinks if he played in Ice Cube's Big Three, that 3-on-3 league, that he would own that league. Like, he would destroy guys in that league, as long as he doesn't have to run up and down the floor. Because Jordan, I think, feels like he could back guys down. He probably still has a pretty nice little mid-range jumper. Like, that probably doesn't leave you. So I think that's where he is. I think Jordan thinks he could be the MVP of the Big Three league. Does Ice Cube still have that league? I think he does.
I don't know if it's his I don't know, though. The two, like, he knows he'd have to get in shape. And he has a hard time. You can tell he has the look of a guy who's consistently trying to lose that last 10 pounds. Like, he's not, he doesn't let himself get way out of shape, but he likes to have a cocktail.
Yeah.
And he likes to enjoy life and he travels a lot. So that'd be, so in his mind, though, that's the thing that's keeping him from being his real peak. So in his mind, he would think, if I just buckled down for 6 months, I could do that.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. I think you're right.
There was a caller to the afternoon show yesterday while I was listening. They were talking about that take by Patrick Beverly, and Patrick Beverly's take is delusional. This caller called in right after, and I immediately text Tyler. I'm like, please grab that. I cannot believe that people with this take in Houston still exist. Here was caller Mike to the afternoon show yesterday.
Man, my thoughts are that I love James Harden. I am somewhat biased from watching him all the years here in Houston. To me, one of the best players in NBA history, if not at one point the best, because he was capable of not only scoring unbelievable numbers during a game, but stopping the clock and scoring at will at a game. So, I mean, that's something that all teams wish they could have done, and James Harden was doing it with ease.
Big Mike, let me ask you something real quick. Would you pay James Harden $50 million a year for the next 5 years right now?
You know, if I had billions, I would.
Yeah, no, but you got a salary cap. Would you pay if you were an owner of an NBA?
James Harden has a mantra. All he has to do is work out one off season, get a six pack. Say he was talking to MJ about clutch time. Next thing you know, he'll get a $75 million contract through somebody believing that he's got it going on this year. That guy is a great hope of any city he goes to. He'll be on a pizza box, and people are going to be sitting there eating their pizza, dreaming of that championship, looking at James Harden's face and the show. And, I mean, all that good stuff. And I can guarantee you, James Harden brings hope to whatever city he goes and plays at.
Pizza Box fan.
Do they put athletes on pizza boxes? Is that a thing?
I guess. We're up in Philly. I have no idea. I used to live in Philly. I don't remember looking down and going, there's Dr. J on my pizza box. Right?
is that the new Wheaties box pizza?
For James Harden, it might be.
As NBA players, ironically, have like wholesale gone vegan to try to advance.
Not James Harden.
Okay, there was one little key element there where the caller acted like it was no big deal. Which apparently James will take a few months and get himself a six pack.
Yeah, washboard abs.
Okay, I guess so. That's all he has to do.
Right,
is something he's never done before. The party said though about talking to Michael Jordan about crunch time. That's the kind of stuff that works. That he had a point there. That's something. If he goes and spends a couple weeks with Coach K. Oh, it'll be all over. You know what? He went on a spiritual retreat with Coach K. Coach K, in his retirement, decides that what he wants to do is mentor people about leadership. So James Harden, as we speak, is off in Tibet with Coach K, meditating in a cave somewhere. He'll get the Supermax. People will say, yes, give me some of this. Give me some of the newly enlightened by his Swami, Mike Krzyzewski, James Harden. Give me this, yes.
Will James Harden's contract extension have a wait clause in it? It should. Should.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Wait clauses are – sometimes wait clauses do more harm than good because guys can just manipulate the water weight. They end up being like dehydrated and malnourished 2 days before the game or the night before a game instead of actually losing the weight.
Yeah.
So, it'd be best if you're giving somebody the Supermax that you just expect them to show up prepared, perhaps.
Yep.
Like, maybe if I don't show up, maybe if I don't expect the guy to show up, not overweight, then maybe I shouldn't give him the Supermax.
We had somebody text in, have you guys mentioned the NBA draft lottery? Probably should have mentioned it in headlines. At this point, it's just numbers at this point. You know, the lottery is tonight. The Rockets will be picking no worse than fifth in the draft. They've got a 52.1% chance of picking in the top four. They've got a 14% chance of picking first overall.
The Rockets have been much better in clutch time since James Harden left, and I think that's why they were able to do so well in the lottery last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, they need to be clutch tonight and get the 1,001 potential ping pong ball combinations. Can the Rockets be clutch enough to win?
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. Find out.
I think there's going to be – we're having a lottery show tonight. I think Landry and Adam Spillane are going to be on from 7 to 9 tonight. Covering the NBA draft lottery. I did that show with Spillane last year. It was tense because if you remember, if the Rockets didn't keep the pick in the top four, the pick would go over to Oklahoma City. So they almost wound up, or they would have had a pick swap with Oklahoma City. So they almost wound up picking like 16th instead of second. That's the difference between getting Jalen Green and getting somebody who's not Jalen Green. Oh, this is the caller. This is caller Mike from yesterday. Okay. 713-572-4610. This is caller Mike that we just played the call from the afternoon show a moment ago. Mike, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys. I do think Brooks Covina would agree with me, but I do think that James Harden, when the guy is on, he is on. I mean, he went to Brooklyn, had everybody excited, championship style. When he left Houston, had me sad, had a lot of people sad. No more big games. And Mike D'Antoni, if Mike D'Antoni and James Harden were to hook up again, it'll be just like him going to Brooklyn, him going to Sixers. He'll be the great next thing. And I can guarantee you it's about system, it's about shape, it's about mindset, and it's also about James Harden. James Harden's name alone will get him a $40 million contract guaranteed until he's 50 years old and fat as a cow.
Mike, first of all, what exactly did he accomplish in Brooklyn in that 1 year that he was there that has you so excited about his time in Brooklyn?
I like the beard. I like his style. And the guy is great. He cook up some stuff with his little three-point jump back shooter. He can get fouls. I love the man.
Well, no, it's evident that you love the man, but you listed his beard as the first thing that was the reason why it was so awesome in Brooklyn, his beard.
Yes, you got to fear the beard.
It is fierce.
Fear the beard.
Yeah, no,
James Harden is no kidding. I'm not kidding you. At one point, I swear, I would say this to all my friends, and it's true.
players with the greatest talent ever in NBA history, they barely had it all. James Harden had it all except defense at one point. I mean, the guy could score at the last 2 minutes of the game 10, 15 points when he could rack up some fouls. And, I mean, he was great at it, better than anybody in NBA history. That's stopping the clock and scoring. That's something that any level of any professional sport wishes that they could do.
All right,
and James Harden is the king of doing it.
Yep, Mike, appreciate it.
The pizza box is Papa John's. He was on Papa John's pizza box.
Oh, okay, okay, gotcha. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. When you're listing his beard as the main reason why his time in Brooklyn was so awesome, it detracts from your overall opinion. I would also say, what exactly from James Harden's body of work leads you to believe he's going to go in the lab and turn into a basketball-playing cyborg this offseason?
My favorite report out of his time with Brooklyn, which I don't put a lot into this report. I don't know how much to believe of it, but it was my favorite report, was that it was a shock to him how much he was paying in taxes, because that's something that could have easily been figured out beforehand. It's I want to believe that that's true, that he really just didn't examine it that much. When somebody said, like, James, you're going to be paying, you know, between state income tax, city tax, entertainers tax, you could be paying, I think it's like 12 to 15% more in taxes. I think he probably thought, like, yeah, cool, I'm good for it. Yeah. Like, no, you don't understand. Off of tens of millions of dollars,
yeah,
that's several million dollars less you'll be making.
It's like, a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money. Yeah, until you see it on a piece of paper. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Story out of Tennessee about one of their rookies, I think highlights a trend in the NFL that's going to be a big wake-up call to one particular position coming into the league. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Tennessee Titans, had this to say about his rookie wide receiver, Treylon Burks. Came in, couldn't finish the first rookie minicamp practice, and it was a red flag. Here's what the Titans head coach had to say.
I think it's hard to think that they can recreate, with a trainer, how we do things. And we see that with guys that have come back and started with our off-season program and guys that have joined a few weeks in. It's just different. And I know that they're working and they think that they are trying to get in shape, but that's just not the case. And so that's something that we have to focus on and try to make sure that we're getting some work in. But with all of them, we're trying to be as smart as we possibly can.
Dude, that pick in Tennessee, I think it's amplified with Tennessee, but I do think it's part of a bigger trend with these young receivers coming into the league. In Tennessee, that they literally used the pick they got for AJ Brown to take Treylon Burks. You know, they didn't just trade Treylon Burks. They didn't just trade AJ Brown and sign a free agent or use a third round pick. They traded AJ Brown, and then within minutes, like that night, drafted Treylon Burks. And Burks probably has the most pressure on him of any of these guys, Seth, because of that whole dynamic. But these rookie receivers coming into the league, quarterbacks have the most pressure on them just because of the importance of the position. But I think because of the trends with receivers now, with teams looking at some of the marquee receivers going, I just don't want to pay these guys $30 million. I'd rather draft a guy and pay a rookie contract for 4 or 5 years and hope that he can perform at that same level. I think receivers coming into the league are under they're under the most pressure other than quarterbacks. Like Drake London is going to Atlanta. They are expecting him to be the guy right away, especially with no Calvin Ridley. Garrett Wilson, same thing in New York with the Jets. Saints,
just go ahead and make us right. Go ahead and make us make our choice of Zach Wilson the correct choice.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even factor Wilson being on that team. Yes, that's additional pressure on Garrett Wilson. The Saints trade up to get Chris Olave. The Lions trade up to get Jameson Williams. The Titans trade out of having A.J. Brown to draft Treylon Burks. Like, there is a ton of pressure on these rookie wide receivers, man.
There is, and yet at the same time, I think the teams are aware that even though all these receivers have come in, and there have been more really good rookie performances by wide receivers than ever in the NFL. It used to be kind of standard thinking that, like, oh, no, you're not going to get the best out of them till year two at best. Like DeAndre Hopkins style, you know?
Yeah.
But it just – the. Between receivers just taking that many more reps through 7-on-7 in high school through college and beyond, and then the team becoming more friendly to the passing game, or the game becoming more friendly to the passing game, it's just – it's more reasonable to expect that. And yet, ultimately, I don't know. Yeah, of all those guys, I guess maybe Garrett Wilson's the one that I would worry about the most, because he's the one that also people wondered, all right, is it – how much of it is Garrett Wilson versus how much of it is it playing at Ohio State? And now you're going into a situation that is not perfect at all.
No.
But you're going to be playing with a bunch of young guys. It's certainly not an Ohio State type environment in terms of just the dominance that you can have from the guys around you. That is a lot of pressure on Garrett Wilson.
You brought up the best point out of all of it with Garrett Wilson, which is there's a big expectation probably that he's the one that's going to have to fish Zach Wilson out of the grease.
Yeah.
You know, the other wide receivers just have normal wide receiver pressure on them, but I don't think anybody's expecting Drake London to rescue Marcus Mariota, or who did they drafted Desmond Ridder in the third round. Like, I don't think there's additional pressure on London that's not already there. Olave in New Orleans, they know what Jameis is at this point. That is a next level kind of pressure trying to rescue a rookie quarterback.
I would say though about Olave, another guy that comes from a very dominant
Ohio State. Yeah.
Olave to go to New Orleans, where you're going to have to be like the Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, what he was to Jameis Winston in Tampa. Like, you're going to try to do that. And you're doing it alongside Michael Thomas, who I don't know, man, about exactly like how into mentoring Michael Thomas is, or exactly what's going on. There's always something that you can't quite put your finger on with Michael Thomas, with either disgruntlement or issues with the team or what have you. That feels like a rough environment to go into.
It helps that Michael Thomas is a fellow Buckeye.
Yes.
He's also a Buckeye.
So there's some relation there probably previously. But even so, like, even if Michael Thomas is like the world's best mentor, it's not a stable relationship he has with the team. And that puts a lot more pressure on that guy. Not to mention, like, remember when it was working with Jameis Winston last year, it was as Jameis was like throwing for 86 yards it wasn't in a traditional sense. We just don't know what it's going to look like in New Orleans.
Yeah, Jameis went 5-2 as a starter last year, and he there were games there the opening game where they blew out Green Bay, he threw for 5 touchdowns and like 114 yards.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah. I think Jameson Williams in Detroit has the least amount of pressure on him, because everything will get blamed on Jared Goff no matter what. You've got a much more marquee draft pick in front of you.
That's a good one, yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. And then also you have the minor little detail of your torn ACL.
Yeah, your ACL kind of gives you a fallback.
Yeah, so Jameson Williams has almost like the – it's like a half red shirt.
Yeah, Jameson Williams with the 12th overall pick, he's going to get a little bit of slack. He's going to get a little bit of slack. It was interesting. I had a tweet sent to me yesterday by my son that listed, as long as we're talking about wide receivers, it listed 1,000-yard receiving seasons since 2015 among wide receivers, and it listed Mike Evans, 7, Brandon Cook, these are 1,000-yard seasons, not Pro Bowls. I'll get to Pro Bowls. Mike Evans, 7. Brandon Cook, 6. And then Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, each with 5. That's the list of 1,000-yard seasons for each of those guys. So 7 for Evans, 6 for Cooks, Houston Texan Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, 5, Julio Jones, 5, DeAndre Hopkins, 5. The crazy thing about that, the next column is Pro Bowls, and Evans has 4, Cooper has 4, Jones and Hopkins have both made the Pro Bowl literally every year that they've gained 1,000 yards receiving. Brandon Cooks, 0 Pro Bowls. So Mike Evans, 7 1,000-yard seasons, 4 Pro Bowls. Amari Cooper, 5 1,000-yard seasons, 4 Pro Bowls. Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, 5 1,000-yard seasons. They've made the Pro Bowl every one of those years. Brandon Cooks, Seth, 6 1,000-yard seasons. He's never made a Pro Bowl. Like, that graphic just jumped out at me. Why does Brandon Cooks not get the recognition that these other guys get? Is it just he's just not as good as these guys? Is it because he's been traded? Why do you think he's...
It's a combination of, I think, in LA when it happened. He's been traded a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But then I think with the Rams, especially when he would have had his best shot, he was looked at as the second guy, kind of a recipient of being on a prolific offense. So it's... Yeah, it's a blend of all those circumstances. It's unfortunate because I think he – it's not like – it's not like he couldn't be a high-producing guy on a really good team. It's not like this is all garbage time production or anything. I think it is all just that it's worked out that he hasn't been in the right situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's where ultimately when he said he wanted to stay put here, I think it has to do – I think a big part of it is probably just, yeah, he's tired of being moved around and being known as the guy that is always moved around. But he was being shuffled around not just from team to team, but from conference to conference. So when it comes to Pro Bowl voting or recognition or things like that, it's like a whole new set of expectations and people that, things you're getting stacked up against when you go from New Orleans to – you go from NFC New Orleans to AFC – New England,
yeah.
To NFC Rams, to AFC Texans,
never
an afterthought because it's the Texans.
That's an interesting point. I'd never thought of that. Yeah, hopefully it happens this year for Brandon Cooks. Text message, Seth, who was the James Harden of the NFL?
Oh, Darrell Revis. It was
Yeah.
if it came to that, because I think people are inherently going to think that's some kind of an insult or anything or something. Darrell Revis was Darrell Revis, I'm told, would like play himself into shape every training camp, but he kind of had a plan for doing it. I guess the difference would be it's almost impossible to compare a football player to, for whatever negatives people want to bring up about James Harden. I don't think that it's fair to do it with a football player unless it's a quarterback, because there's only so much Darrell Revis can do, you know, for or against the team in the playoffs, like to the point where, unless Darrell Revis had like had some really bad performances in the playoffs, you're not going to try to imbue any of the negatives of James Harden onto him.
There is that dynamic though, I wonder, with teammates where it's like, okay, this guy shows up out of shape and he's the highest paid guy on the team,
but he's also like the best.
He's amazing.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
I mean, like that was his, it wasn't like he was lazy. I think he let his body rest and recuperate in the off season, and then we got to training camp. He was all about getting into shape and getting his body right, and he had like 5 or 6 weeks to do it. And it was like that was the preparation that was good for him. Yeah, I don't know. He probably wasn't. He wasn't the absolute model. Like, hey, tell all the rookies to do it exactly like Darrell Revis. That's more the okay. Look, he can get away with that. You can't. Now shut your mouth.
Seth, yesterday was a big day for me. As you know, I'm an Amber Heard, Johnny Depp aficionado.
Yeah, you're basically the only you're the only way I'm getting any news on this trial.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep up with it and I couldn't, so I outsourced it to you.
Yeah,
and I think you're doing a smashing job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yesterday was a day we've all been waiting for. Amber Heard at the stand testifying about Poopgate. Where Johnny Depp accused her of pooping in the bed a while back.
Yes.
Amber Heard said it was their dog, Boo. And here is Amber Heard's explanation of how poop wound up in Johnny Depp's bed.
What issues did Boo have with bathroom problems, if you will?
Objection, leading and relevance.
Overruled, I thought.
She had eaten Johnny's weed when she was a puppy and had bowel control issues for her entire life, among some other issues. She was, you know, we regularly had to take her to the vet to try to figure out, well, what was wrong with this dog? Never met a dog that was quite like this. So she had some control issues, hence why we would, she liked to burrow in the bed. She liked to be in the, you know, by the foot of the bed underneath the covers. And it was customary that they slept in bed with us.
All right, so okay. Dog used to sleep in the bed, burrow in the bed.
Had like probably anxiety issues and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's claiming...
She is claiming the dog is the one who pooped in the bed, not her. Johnny is accusing her of pooping in the bed. She's saying it was the dog that pooped in the bed. This is a dog that has had perpetual bowel issues dating all the way back to when, as a puppy, he or she ate Johnny Depp's weed back in the day.
Yeah, the hard part there is I'm going to have to hear Johnny's testimony on this because dog poop smells a lot different than human poop.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear for Amber Heard's mentions for the rest of her time here because she basically also just blamed marijuana for a lifetime of gastrointestinal issues by the puppy because the puppy had eaten Johnny's weed when it was a puppy. Potheads are not going to like that, Sean.
No.
They're going to be very upset with that. She's going to blame a lifetime of GI issues on one instance as a puppy. I also think, though, too, that Johnny's going to get up on stand and say, listen, I know what dog poop smells like. And I know what human poop smells like, and this did not smell like dog poop.
I feel bad for Amber Heard from the standpoint of if she didn't do it, this is what she's going to be remembered for forever. It's like Bill Buckner. He was a great player. What is he remembered for? The ball rolling through his legs in Game 6 of the World Series and nothing else. Like, she could go on to win an Academy Award. She could go on to make another 15 Aquaman movies. She is going to be remembered, unless she's completely exonerated for it, for pooping in Johnny Depp's bed.
Yeah, that's...
It's tough to come back from.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because it doesn't necessarily get talked about in, like, quote-unquote polite company.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to bring it up on TV shows. If she's in some movie or something, they're not gonna bill it as, noted bed pooper Amber Heard is now starring as Florence Nightingale in this movie or what have you. I think she's safe from that. I think it's she's got to fear the graphic description from Johnny Depp though, because that could put it over the edge.
Yeah,
I don't know, Sean. You've tried. Like, you ever stepped in dog poop and then had it on your shoe?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and you don't realize it until you've been driving for 2 minutes or so.
Yep.
When you like, it's a very distinct and unique smell,
different aroma. Yes,
much different than any girlfriend's poop you might have ever had.
Right. I've been down this road several times on both sides, dog and human. And you're right; they do. They smell very, very different. Right? Absolutely.
I think, what I'm thinking of is Winona Ryder got busted for shoplifting way back when.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing that you would have thought would follow her forever. But for the most part, people don't really think much of it.
Okay.
You know, it's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
At the time, I think it was in a lull in her stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And she got nabbed shoplifting. She moved past that.
Okay.
It's not quite as disgusting,
but it's pretty embarrassing. You're a Hollywood star and you get caught stealing stuff from a store.
There was a girl on my dorm floor my freshman year that I felt awful for because she was awesome. She was very, very pretty.
Yeah.
She got super drunk one night, passed out in a kid's room, woke up at 3 or 4 in the morning, thought that his desk chair was a toilet, and sat down and pooped on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it stunk. It stunk pretty bad. Like, everybody in the morning, you know, like, you can think of a dorm. Like, kids get up
cramped.
Pretty late.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like everybody was like opening their.
Oh, it sat there forever.
They're like everybody, I stuck my head out. I was like, what the hell is that smell?
Oh.
And other people were sticking their heads out. And she ended up having to go down and clean it up and walk. I'll never forget that. I saw her like 15 years later and that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, see?
was her pooping on Jason's desk chair.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're kind of making my point for me with Amber Heard. I don't know. She needs.
I turned down. Yeah, I think there was a time our senior year. That had been my freshman year. There was a time my senior year where we were hanging out a little bit at a party.
Yeah.
And I was getting those vibes, and I was kind of like, eh, nah, sorry. I'm going home now.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta go home. Yeah. Need the home toilet advantage, absolutely.
So you might be right. You might be right on this.
We're not playing Rock You Like a Hurricane underneath this because we're talking about this topic. We're playing it because you can win tickets to see Scorpions at Houston Toyota Center on September the 17th. Anytime, well, right now. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5. On your way to see Scorpions at Houston Toyota Center on September the 17th. 713-572-4610. Up next, the Astros have engaged one of their young players in contract talks. How crucial is it that they get either this guy or another guy signed to a Bregman type of deal? That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.